إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, we are on this ayat of Surah Al Imran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. So talking about, we mentioned the first part of the ayat in the last 2-3 days, looking at the issue of izzat, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah gives izzat to who He wants and He takes it away from who He wants. A couple of things to understand. First of all, as I have said before as well, two important issues of aqidah as well in this, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always just. There is no injustice with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, justice and injustice is not a matter of what we see and understand. It's from the maslahat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He does, this is a part of our aqidah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be unjust. There is in the Sharia, there is a term which is called, in Urdu we say غَيْر مُمْكِنَاتِ, things which are not possible. So when we say not possible for Allah, we don't mean that in the sense that Allah is helpless. That is not the case. There is nothing impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are certain things which are not possible in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of which is injustice. Another one is falsehood. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises or has promised will happen. There is no question of something which Allah promised which will not happen, or there is a lie in that, or there is a falsehood in that, or there is something hidden in that. So these are all things in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are impossible. There is no question of that happening. For example, in the Quran, in many places you would have come across this word la'alla. La'allakum tuflihun, la'allakum turhamun. So if you translate it, it means perhaps they will be. But in the context of understanding that word in the istilah of the Quran, there is no perhaps. The perhaps is certainty. They will be successful. But in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in that form, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said la'alla, we don't know. But the understanding of the Mufassirin is that the la'alla in the Quran is certainty. It's not a maybe they will be successful, or there is no maybe in that. Yeah, they will be successful. So that way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. So these are some of the things to understand when we read the tafsir of the Quran. So as far as success and failure is concerned, it is what Allah has described. So izzat, therefore, we have to understand, when Allah is saying Allah gives izzat to whoever He wants, it is not, as I said, a random thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suddenly decides to give izzat to a scoundrel, or suddenly decides to humiliate a good person. That does not happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives izzat and takes away izzat purely and only in connection or in relation to a person's aqidah and amal. These are the two criteria. And that is the reason why the Anbiya alayhimu salam are those who have been given the maximum izzat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And in that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the number one and the leader of them. Now, if we look at that in that context, therefore we also have to ask a question, which is to say, what is izzat? Because Allah is saying Allah gives izzat who He wants. So what is izzat? We tend to see izzat from our worldly perspective. So izzat is, honors and titles and sir so-and-so and lord so-and-so and nawab so-and-so. In Hyderabad, for example, after the Nizam passed away, every Muslim has become a nawab. Jisku dekho, nawab falan hai, nawab hai, kidhar ke nawab, kaha se aage nawab. But so it's become, every Muslim has become a nawab. We think this is izzat. We think izzat is given by the kind of car you drive and the kind of clothes you wear. And what adds to this is that our modern consumerist culture has also added and fed into this, where you say, you know, your the pen, for example, this is not your pen, this is who you are, this is a expression of your personality, and the brand of shirt you wear is your signature, and all kinds of absolute nonsense, as if a piece of cloth or some pen or something defines a human being. I mean, this is actually very demeaning if you look at it. In the context of the Quran, for example, one of the things that the Salafus Salihin have always said is that if a person who has the Quran in his heart, and they have not said necessarily, usually these things when we translate, we add to that translation. So when we say when he has the Quran in his heart, we feel that this applies only to Huffaz. It doesn't apply to Huffaz. Has the Quran, any part of the Quran, if somebody knows one surah, one ayat, that also is Quran. Right? Alhamdulillah, if the person is a hafiz of the Quran, it's very good. But anyone who has the Quran in his heart, if he considers the material of somebody else to be superior, then he is insulting the Quran. He is actually, being disrespectful of the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even without that, even this is for the Muslim, but even without that, as a human being, if we lower ourselves to the extent where we feel that jewelry or titles or clothing or a car or a house adds value and gives izzah to a human being, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, ashraful makhlukat, and we think that brick and mortar and glass and stones and metal, this adds value to somebody, is really utterly ridiculous, absolute nonsense. That, I think, is a very demeaning and insulting thing to do to yourself. So izzat, what is izzat, therefore? And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed with the Anbiya alayhi salam, with the exception of only two of them, Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawud alayhi salam, all the Anbiya alayhi salam were poor. If you take this normal standards of izzat, for example, titles. No Nabi ever had a title. No Nabi was Nawab so and so. Money, Ambi alayhi salam were poor. Our Musa alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam said he had one robe which he used to spread on the ground and sleep in the night, and then he would wear it in the morning to keep out the cold. And he said he had this one robe for 40 years. So as far as, can you imagine? The famous story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, where there were some holes in his izar. So Sayyidina Ali and some other Sahaba, they went to his daughter. This is after Mr. Hassan passed away, when Sayyidina Umar was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So they went to his daughter Hafsa radiallahu anha, and they gave her some cloth, a bolt of cloth, and they said, please give this to your father and tell him to get some clothes made for himself, because it does not look nice for the Amir to be dressed like this. But don't tell him who gave this to you. I mean, they were afraid of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's possible reaction. So Sayyidina Hafsa, Sayyidina Umar came to meet his daughter. So Ummul Mumineen, Hafsa radiallahu anha. So when he came to meet her, she gave him the piece of this bolt of cloth, and she said, your brothers are saying that you are wearing clothes with holes in them and so on, and it does not look nice because you are the Amirul Mumineen. So they have given you a gift and for you to make new clothes. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, who said this? Who gave this? So she said, I will not tell you because this is, amana. So he asked her, he said, what kind of clothes did your husband wear? Who is her husband? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she kept quiet. She did not say anything. She didn't respond to him. He said, I am wearing these because I am afraid that if I leave the sunnah of my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah will deprive me from being in the company of my two companions. Who are his two companions? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So, izzat is by what? This is the state of, as far as clothing and so on is concerned. Houses, about Isa alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the earth was his pillow and the sky was his roof. I mean, as if these are the, and I'm giving examples of, you know, I mean, like we can talk about this for a long time, which we don't want to do. But I'm saying examples of some of the greatest of the Anbiya, the Ulul Azam min al-Rusul. I'm not giving example even of other people. Ibrahim alayhi salam, what was Ibrahim alayhi salam's state? The issue is, what is the issue of izzat? The one of the best ones to understand with this izzat is Yusuf alayhi salam. As a small child, he is taken by his brothers and thrown into a well. So if you say izzat is freedom, where is the freedom? He is thrown into a well. And then so he is rescued from this well and he is sold into slavery. What is the izzat of a slave? He is a slave. I mean, where is the question of izzat for a slave? To add to that, they put an accusation, false accusation on him. And then even after his name is cleared of this false accusation, he goes to prison. So it is like from the frying pan into the fire. You know, you are already a slave, then a false accusation, then into prison for something which he has not done. What is the prison sentence for what? What is his crime? There is no crime. Name has been cleared. Despite that, he is in prison. But does he have izzah? Or do his opponents have izzah? Who has izzah? The fact that he was taken out of prison, he was released and then he became the governor of Egypt, oh, that is all, I mean, okay, that's happened. But I'm talking about in that state, in the state of being a slave, in the state of being in prison, who had the izzat? Now, if you look at all of this, the reason for the izzat is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salam had izzat because he was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did he go to prison? He chose prison. And that is why, in terms of dua, they say don't say things like this. Because Yusuf alayhi salam could have, perhaps he could have said, please give me najat from this woman and her wiles. He said, I prefer prison to that. So he got prison. Now, there is no need to say that. I mean, you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't put your own limitations on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyway, that's an aside. But the point here is that as far as Yusuf alayhi salam is concerned, you know, he is in, not even, he's in prison unjustly. But izzat is because, why did he end up there? Because he did not want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he even said, I prefer the prison to disobeying you, to what she is inviting me towards, which is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I prefer to be in jail rather than to do this. So the issue of izzat and therefore is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to izzu man tasha wa tuzillu man tasha, and then he said, biyadikal khair. In his hand is khair. Now, if you look at this and say, if Allah gives izzat, in his hand is khair, but if there is zillat, how can there be khair? Now, zillat is again in the worldly context. Even if there is zillat in the worldly context, if the person is being harassed by the world because he or she is standing up for the truth, if they are being harassed in the world because of the fact that their character is good and the world wants them, like Lut alayhi salam's community, what did they say? They say, oh, you want to be so pure, so leave this place, banish from the land. Why? Because you want to be pure. So, purity and good character in a society which is steeped in corruption and sin, good character becomes a liability. But what do? Do you therefore give up your good character? Do you compromise your principles? Or do you say, no, I have to stand for my principles, not only even if I stand alone, but especially if I stand alone, because then I am the only one standing. Even I don't stand, if even I don't stand, then who will be there to stand for these principles? This is what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi said when they imprisoned him and they tortured him and they beat him and so on in the context of declaring the Quran to be makhluq, and he refused. And one of the muftis of the Khalifa, he came to him in prison and he said, accept it, and when you go back to Medina, then you make ruju, you refuse, you say that I was forced to say this. Imam Ahmad showed him, he pointed to the window, there was a huge crowd of people waiting outside. He said, what will they say? They won't know all this, internal, what is happening here. What will it be to them? They will say that this is what Imam Ahmad has accepted. So then they will think it is correct. So that's why he said, if even I do this, then where will this stop? So he refused to do it. He refused to do that, and then the Khalifa eventually released him, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses people to stand up for the truth. Similarly, Mujaddid al-Fisani rahmatullah alayhi, Ahmad Sirhindi rahmatullah alayhi, he stood against the greatest power of the time, which was the Emperor Akbar, when he announced his Deen-e-Ilahi and he claimed prophethood for himself, that he was a Rasul. And Ahmad Sirhindi rahmatullah alayhi, that's why he is called the title of Mujaddid al-Fisani, he stood alone against Akbar for the Khatm-e-Nabuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last prophet, after him there is no Nabi. And whether you are king or emperor or God knows what, makes no difference. This he is the last and final of the messengers. Because there were Abul Fazl and all who put up Akbar to this. Abul Fazl himself was a very big alim. Very, very big and very highly educated alim of Islam. So the issue is, because you are an alim or because you are a king or because somebody, this does not give Izzat. It's the issue of how do you use that ilm. Are you taking this ilm? You may be Hafiz Quran and so on. Abul Fazl wrote a tafsir of Quran without any huruf of nukat. Can you believe it? He did not use any letter with a dot. If you look at the script of Farsi, that was in Farsi. So if you look at the Farsi script, how many letters have nukta on this? Zal mein hai, ze mein hai, ja mein hai, jim mein hai, kha mein hai. How many? So he is writing a whole tafsir without using any letters with nukat, meaning that words he uses must not have these letters. Imagine the level of knowledge of the language that he has. And what does he do? He misleads the king to declare himself as the Rasul. So what is the good of this knowledge? You write tafsir of the Quran. What is the good of that? You are Hafiz Quran, you have the understanding of tafsir to that extent, and then you do this. So the issue of Izzat and Zillat is related to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh Allah, you have control over everything. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all tests and to keep us in a state of obedience to Him and to give us Izzat and to save us from all Zillat in this dunya wal akhirah. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمُ وَعَلَىٰ عَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمُ.